Mr. Mayor Daniel Mahoney joins us today. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for the invitation to be here.
Got to be a whirlwind here the last couple of days.
Yeah. I haven't gotten much sleep. I'll be honest, man. It's still kind of surreal. We are celebrating short and preparing to get right to work.
Okay, I'm thinking as you're growing up, you're not sitting around saying, "I want to be mayor of Jackson."
You know, when I spoke right after they announced that I won, I was immediately reminded of a conversation that I had with two young ladies walking home from ninth grade coming from Jackson High. Me and my best friend were walking these two young ladies home, and you know, as young men do.
Well, that was nice of you.
It was. We was trying to impress them. I'm not going to hold you up. We was trying to impress them, and I remember coming down Biddle Street and stretching my arms out and saying, "One of these days, I'm going to run this city." And you know, I just praise God, man, for putting me in the position to make a difference in this community, because that's what it's really about.
That's a pretty bold prediction in ninth grade.
Hey, man, it was, but I got witnesses that it actually happened, and you know, look where we are now. But I'm just, you know, I really do feel blessed and honored to have the opportunity to make a difference.
So how and why did you get into politics, or was there something that pushed you into it?
It was a trick. I got tricked.
Did you?
I got tricked, man. So my Aunt Gail, Gail Mahoney, one of the longest seated county commissioners in our community in Jackson County. She's a county commissioner for 18 years in the 7th district. And she decided she was ready to retire. In fact, she was supposed to retire in 2012, but with the passing of Uncle Carl Breeding, she felt obligated to stay in her position another term. So she ran in 2012. I remember kind of helping. I passed some literature out for her that year. And when 2013 came to an end, she was telling me, you know, "I think I'm going to retire." And I said, "Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely, you know, you put your work in." And we were going through a lot of stuff in our family. Had a few deaths of her siblings, my father's siblings.
She had some health issues.
She had some health issues herself. And, you know, she just said she was ready to retire. Mm-hmm. And she said, "You know, I really think that you should consider running." And I said, "Well, I didn't go to college for that. I went to college for entrepreneurship and communication. And, you know, I don't know if I would be the right person." And she said, "Nope, you only need two things to be a good commissioner, a good person of public service in general." She said, "You gotta want to do what the people want you to do. You gotta care for the people and be willing to vote the right way when it comes time to vote." And I said, "Well, I think that's two things I can do." And then the tricky part was, she said, "Well, it's only a couple meetings a month. I think you can handle it."
New Jersey's
and about a year later, I had to call her and say, This is a little more involved than just two meetings a month.
Yeah.
But you know, I really enjoy policy. I really enjoy just trying to make a difference for this city. You know, I really love Jackson and born and raised here, and it's you know, where I'm raising my five daughters at. So it means a great deal to me to be able to impact the direction that we go.
Yeah. When you get in politics, it's 24/7. You're always on, aren't you?
Yeah, you are. You never know what time of day or time of night that you're going to get a phone call where somebody in the community needs you. And, you know, that's kind of what you sign up for.
So you get on the county commission. Tell us what those years were like and what you learned there.
You know, the county commission is what set the foundation for my understanding of how local government works. I made a lot of great relationships in the state of Michigan and abroad through being involved in like the Michigan Association of Counties and the National Association of County Officials. I made great relationships right here in this county in general, with the department heads, with former commissioners and a couple of current commissioners at least. And it really set the foundation of what this work is about and helped grow my leadership. I mean, I think that when you step into these roles, if you're not someone who's already actively involved at the table, then sometimes when it gets difficult, you can forget the reason that you signed up for this crap, because it is oftentimes very thankless work. And then when you have contention on the boards that you're on, when there's disagreements on the board that you're on, it can be even more difficult. It makes it difficult for you to even want to show up when you're vastly outnumbered and you don't feel like you're making a difference in the community that you represent. But ultimately, it really showed me the ropes. It taught me about how county financing, how local financing works, how government financing works. It taught that, which is like the biggest thing, is we are the stewards of the money that our community gets to run the way our community works and direct where that money goes. And it also impacts economic development and all of those different things that we all care about. So I'm very thankful for the years that I spent at the county. In fact, prior to Derek Dobie's asking me to run, with him deciding to not run, several people asked me, well, when do you plan to throw your hat in the ring to run for mayor? And I was always, my response was always, I'm pretty content minding my business across the street at the county. I think that when you're a person who looks to grow, you can never be content. So eventually that aspired me to throw my hat in the ring eventually.
And you're a city guy, certainly.
That's right. Yep.
Did you feel like you were on an island at the county?
Absolutely, I did. It's very difficult when, especially, at first I didn't, Greg. I'll be honest. At first, the only difference was, I was a Democrat and they were Republican, but most of the issues that we addressed for the first 4 to 5 years was all pretty standard stuff,
local stuff,
passing budgets, giving the departments the needs that they're asking for. But the real separation came, of course, around the time that the presidential election happened. So of course there was a lot of, separation at that time. And then as I looked to grow in leadership, seeking and asking to be the chair of certain boards, after feeling like I earned it, being the longest sitting commissioner on some of the committees that we all sit on, and being told, as much as I want to make you the chair, I can't because of the DNR rules. And my first reaction was, what the heck does the DNR have to do with who's the chair of the Health and Human Services Board? And I didn't get it. I literally thought they were talking about the DNR, the guys that working underwater and the guys who work in our forestry, right? And then he said, no, the DNR rules, Democrats and Republicans, I can't have you as a chair. And, I think that stunts the growth of our entire county when you are following party lines instead of looking to grow great leadership for the entire county of Jackson. So I did feel like I was on an island. I felt like I had hit a invisible ceiling of how far and how effective I could be as a county commissioner, and it was time for me to do something different. So this opportunity came at a great time.
As you move to the city, it looks like you have a favorable city council to work with.
Yeah, the nice thing about city council is it's nonpartisan. I know people have their assumptions about who's conservative or who's liberal, who's Republican, who's Democratic. But the nice thing is I think that I'm assuming that everybody has the same common end game goal, which is to make the city of Jackson a better place. And as long as that's everybody's end game, we can argue along the way about the path to get there, and we can compromise and come to a consensus about the path to get there. That part I don't mind as long as it's respectfully done. But I do think that it'll be a less rocky road for us to travel that path because we don't have to worry about running or operating on party line politics because our local city politics are nonpartisan.
Obviously you have an agenda, but something you want to jump into right away, Daniel?
Well, you know, the song's not going to change from what I've been talking about in my platform, since April. You know, I'm not coming with a preloaded list of my own concerns. I'm coming with the same concerns that I won the election based off of and plan to follow through on those items. Item number one, man, is to address the gun violence in the community. And try to do it in a way that we can really see some pretty quick impact.
And you weren't mayor for 10 minutes and really a member of your own family.
Yeah.
Is murdered on the streets here.
Yeah. And it's it hurts. It hurts to see my cousin having to be in the position to bury his son. And he's younger than I am. So I can't even imagine. You know, I can't even imagine, man. And, you know, all of these deaths hit home because Jackson is such a small community. You know, while some people might be under the assumption that these are some type of gangsters and gang members who are coming in from other communities fighting over turf, man, these are our children. These are our sons and our daughters of this community, of this city. And every single one, the entire community hurts because you're not just losing one individual. In most cases, you're losing two. And you're either tied to the family who is impacted by the victim that was shot or killed, or you're affected by the family who did the shooting themselves, and then that individual having to face the punishment that they get. You know, so in one way, shape, or another, all of these murders have directly impacted me because I'm so closely tied to the Black community that is being most affected by these violent crimes. You know, so every time it hurts, of course it hurts more when it's somebody who I'm directly related to, but really it just intensified the fire that's inside of me to really try to eradicate the gun crimes that are happening, and not just address the top dressed issue of the actual gun crimes, because that has to be done through law enforcement, and I think our law enforcement is doing everything that they can. But we really truly have to start working on the root cause issues, because the faces continue to change of who's doing these crimes, and the crimes continue to happen, the faces just change. So how do we address the root cause issues that are happening in this city to be able to reduce those gun crimes that we see happening?
A lot of repeat offenders also.
There is, but I feel like most of the time you see that they may be repeat offenders in the light of being involved in crime in some way, shape, or form. But I think that once you kill somebody or shoot somebody, more than likely you're going to jail if you get caught.
Sure.
You know, you're going to jail. And I think there's a small community of people. I mean, and that's what the data shows, is that the size of the people who are committing these crimes is 0.5% to 1%, which equals out to be about 150 to 250 people in this city that are committing these violent crimes. You know, so we have to again figure out how we address that root cause issue that's leading these young people into that life of crime.
And the police must be frustrated like everybody else.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. I'm sure they are, because I mean, they have their own set of fears of, you know, they've got a family.
They've got to deal with it.
They've got a family to go home to as well, Greg. You know, and I spoke to an officer maybe about 2 years ago, and the conversation that we were having is kind of about this same thing. We were talking about the age range of the people who are shooting, and he said, "Man, I don't want to kill a 16-year-old. But Mahoney, what am I supposed to do if I'm faced with a situation where a young man has a gun and he pulls it on me and I've got my own children to go home to? So I think their concerns are deeper than just catching the bad guy, because these officers know the age range of these young men who are out here shooting, and they know that they're a lot of them are minors, you know, so it's their own fear of what do I do if I'm faced with a situation, but I have to make this community a safer place, you know. And I think that I'm really excited that I know that the chief understands that we cannot police our way out of this issue. We just can't. We've been policing for many years, you know, rounding them up and putting them in jail. But what are we going to do to proactively address the issue?
You certainly add more police. That doesn't necessarily stop.
No, exactly. You know, I totally agree. That's the big thing.
Water is one of the other big issues I'm sure you'll be dealing with.
Yeah, absolutely it is. You know, like I said, and I think the last time we talked, one of the things that I'm interested in doing is us getting another estimate on what it's actually going to cost for us to replace those 11,000 lead service lines, you know, so that way city council, this new city council, can get a real look at the entire bill, not just the estimated $120 million, but what all does that involve? And is there any way for us to reduce that? And then let's not just look at reducing that. Let's get a game plan of making sure that at some point we can reduce that almost 30% increase that we've seen in our water bill. Because you know what happens when taxes get raised, they say, well, we're raising them for this specific reason, and then years down the line you're like, man, that never went back down, you know. So I just want to make sure that we're being good stewards to the citizens in this city and laying out a plan of, okay, this is how long it's going to take us to pay for this, and then this is what you can expect if we are able to reduce those water rates. This is what you can expect it to look like.
Have you had a chance yet to talk to the city manager? Have you?
No, I haven't. You know, I don't like to start putting my eggs in the basket before they hatch. But you know, we've had a couple of conversations just through some of the other work that I do in the community, and you know, especially after I announced, we had a few good conversations just getting to know each other. I know he doesn't eat meat, just like I don't, you know, so we got that in common.
Okay.
So that's a good start right off the bat. I don't have to worry about guessing where we might go to lunch at, because I know if we go somewhere, it's going to be somewhere that doesn't, you know, that has some vegetarian or some pescatarian options, because neither one of us eat meat. He's a little further along on that journey than I am, because I don't think he eats dairy either. I still eat cheese and eggs, but, you know, so that was nice just to kind of get to know him personally. But my next plan in this next 3 weeks before being sworn in is to have a sit down with him so I can talk about what my vision is. He can help me understand what his current vision is of the city and the direction and some of the internal things that we're going through right now. And then I also want to sit down with the 6 city council members so that I can get a good understanding of what their vision for their ward is, what their concerns in their ward is, because I feel like they have to be treated as the experts, as the voice of, as the face of their ward. And then my job as mayor will be to mesh all of those together, mixed in with my own vision, and then create a solid game plan so that we can all see progress in the areas that we want to see it in.
Are you excited, nervous? You don't seem overwhelmed.
I think it's still kind of sinking in. I mean, really, you know, it's time to show and prove, man. So like, while I want to be excited, you know, a lot of people keep asking, well, how do you feel being the first black mayor? And my response is that there's going to be even more scrutiny on every move that I make. Every single move that I make is going to be scrutinized a million times more than any other mayor will be scrutinized. And the reason for that is because the black community has a laundry list of issues that they want addressed. right? And it's my responsibility to make sure I see through some of those issues that they want to see addressed. At the same time, I'm the mayor of the entire city of Jackson.
Sure.
Not just of the black community. So I have to make sure that I'm equally and fairly addressing all the issues and concerns of the community. So the rest of the community is going to be scrutinizing every move that I make. And I know that there's 44% of people in this community, or 46, whatever the difference of that number of people who voted, that are concerned that their needs aren't going to be met. You know, so it's my job to make sure that I show and prove now. I mean, in college, I was the president of my fraternity, Alpha Phi Alpha Incorporated. And it was the first year I joined the fraternity. There was a lot of things that I didn't know. And to be quite honest, I took that role and I was pretty unprepared for the responsibility side. And my vice president, a close brother of mine still to this day, who's actually on the Akron school board right now, pulled me to the side one day and he said something to me that I'd never forget. He said, this ain't the training grounds. You're in the role. You have to do the job, and not knowing is not an excuse. You're the president. You got to act like the president. You got to be the president.
Yeah.
And I took that with me. After us arguing, because I was pretty upset when he said it. But I've always looked back on that conversation and said, I'll never sign up for something not knowing what the responsibilities are, because not knowing is not an excuse to not execute the job at hand. You know, so my focus right now is laser focused on making sure that I'm the best mayor that I can be.
Yeah, learn on the job, and the job ends quickly.
Exactly, exactly. All of a sudden, I look up and I'm reapplying again. Yep.
So December 1st, big day for you.
December 1st, 6:30, City Hall. That's when I'll be sworn in.
Dan, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it.
You're
going to join us certainly on a regular basis here.
Yes, sir.
As the outgoing mayor is done.
Yes, yes.
Thanks, Dan.
All right, thank you. Have a good day.